Today's shiur Masechta Nida Daf Samach Ches. We will begin on Daf Samach Zayin on the base, 5 lines from the bottom, Isha Bailahu. As we discussed in our previous shiur, the halacha is that a woman, before she goes to the mikvah, is supposed to make chafifa, which really means to wash herself to make sure that she's completely clean of any chatzitza that may be on her body from maybe on our body that would disqualify the tefillah, as we have been learning. And as we discussed in our previous year, there's a question, when is the proper time to do the chafifa? The focus at the end of the year yesterday was more about when to do chafifa in a situation where the woman will not be able to go to the mikvah right away after having conducted chafifa. But actually, the question comes up, asked the Gemara, even not when there's a delay of a couple of days, as we discussed and will discuss, but asked the Gemara, by the way, Isha mashat chafa belayla v'titpa belayla. Can a woman do chafifa at night to do tefillah that night? So we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi learned the Gemara. And Rashi's opinion is that the proper time for doing chafifa is actually in the afternoon before going to the mikvah. And the Gemara's question, therefore, is if there's a woman who cannot do chafifa at that time, cannot do chafifa on the afternoon before going to the mikvah that night, can she do chafifa that night as well? And says the Gemara, Mazutra, Shari. Mazutra says it is fine, and Rav Chanina Misur Asa, Rav Chanina on the other hand holds that it's not acceptable. And the Gemara explains. The Gemara explains that Amalei Rav Adal Rav Chanina Misur wasn't there once an incident. The Lav Hochiav Uvda wasn't the following situation. Vidvisa Davin Mori, the wife of Avin Mori, Resh Galusa, who was the Resh Galusa, the Ikut. The husband and wife got into a argument, and because they got into an argument, she should have gone to the mikvah, but she didn't. And the question was, so also Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, according to some opinions, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was actually their son-in-law, and also Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Lefiusa. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak wanted to bring Shalom Bayis to them, and that ultimately, not just by bringing the Shalom Bayis, they would indeed be able to go to the, they would indeed agree to go to the mikveh as well. And indeed, he was successful. But now, Resh Galusa's wife says to Rav Nachman, Vomala, my Aisa Hashta, what am I now to do? Tizgi v'aisa l'machar. I will have to go tomorrow. And as the Mefarshim explained, the fact that she used such a long language, it became obvious to Rav Nachman, v'yoda my kamerlo. He understood that what she was saying was that I am now agreeable to go to the mikvah, but as we've been learning, the halacha is that before I go to the mikvah, I have to do chafifa. And it's already at night, and I no longer can do chfifa. Amma, to which Rav Nachman said, do de chasarta, are you missing pots in which to cook up the water? Tashtiki chasarta, are you missing the stool that used to sit on a stool during chfifa? Are you missing the stool? Abde chasarta, are you missing avodim to bring the water and heat up the water? So obviously he held that a woman may go to the mikveh, may do chafifa at night if she didn't have the opportunity to do it by day. Actually, this Gemara is used by some Rishonim to make the following point. There's a question, as we've been discussing, that chafifa must be conducted. The question is, for what must there be chafifa? Does there have to be chafifa just for the hair, or does there have to be chafifa for the entire body. So some Rishonim want to say that our Gemara is clearly an indication that Chafifa must be done on the entire body, because he's saying that you need Avodim and you need all sorts of different help to be able to do the Chafifa properly. If all that you have to do Chafifa on is just the hair, for that you don't need so much help and assistance to do the Chafifa. It's right that Chafifa should be done on the entire body. That's how some Rishonim want to learn. However, other Rishonim say that this is not necessarily a raya, for two different reasons that I saw. One reason I saw is because even if Chafifa must only be done on the hair, still, even that you need to have warm water. You have to warm up water. You have to heat up water just need it for the hair as well. Or another pshat is that even though halachically the chafif is only for the hair, for as we've learned previously in our parak, that's the area on the body with the most concern for a chatzitza, still, the minig was to do chafifa on the entire body, even though it wasn't necessarily halachically required, and that's why he said you need to have avodim to bring the water and the heat up the mikvah, because the minig was to do chafifa on the entire body, even though it's not necessarily halachically absolutely necessary. Says the Gemara, Darish Rava, Isha chafefes be'er Shabbos, a woman can do chafifa on Erev Shabbos, v'tavelas v'motzei Shabbos, and go to the mikvah motzei Shabbos. In other words, a woman is unable to go do chafifa on Shabbos, as we've discussed in the previous year. So says Rava, do the chafifa on Friday and the tefillah on Motzei Shabbos. Amalei Rapapa l'Rava, v'sholachri Rava v'agarte, hasn't Rava sent the following message? Ishalai talk about Shabbos and the tefillah on Motzei Shabbos, that actually a woman should not do the chafifa on Friday afternoon for tefillah on Motzei Shabbos. And of course you should understand this, because how can we think differently? How can we think that hey chafefes b'yoyim v'tavelas b'layla? How is it possible for her to do chafifa on Friday and do the tefillah on Motzei Shabbos? Habinin, isn't there a halacha that take of a chafifa tefillah, that chafifa should be done right before the tefillah? And here if the chafifa is going to be done on Friday afternoon, and the tefillah Matzah Shabbos for Lekha, we aren't going to be able to do, we're not doing it properly. So says the Gemara, Rava brought the Amira. We know that in those times, the minig was that when a Rav said a drasha, he would whisper the drasha to an Amira, to a Meturgeman, who would then be the one that would say the drasha to the entire community. He would be the one to say it out loud. And he made an announcement, Dvarim shamati lefneichem, what I told you previously, tosheim biyodei, are actually an error. And I saw that the Shar Mitzion of Halacha says that the only person who's qualified to really be a Meira Hira, the only person who's really qualified to be a Rav, is the person who's able to announce publicly that I made a mistake. He actually goes on, I actually saw a tremendous word. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that why was the Chazon Ish able to be, as we know, the Pesach for Klal Yisrael, the greatest Pesach in his generation, the one that was able to answer all sorts of very, very difficult questions. He says, because actually to paskin a very difficult question is very hard and very difficult. He says the only person who really has the ability to paskin very difficult questions is a person who has the ability to say I made a mistake. Because if the person has the ability to say I made a mistake, then it's much easier for him to paskin a shayla, because he knows that, of course he hopes not to make a mistake, but he knows that in case he does make a mistake, he has a way out by admitting that he made a mistake.
And said the said Rav Yaakov, that was the greatness of the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish had that ability to be able to admit that he made an error, and because he was able to admit that he made an error, that's why he was able to pasken all of the difficult shilas that he did. So he said, Ram kach omr mishmeid Rav Yochanan. This was what was said in the name of Rav Yochanan. Isha lo tocha be'er Shabbos v'titlo v'motu Shabbos. A woman should not do chafifa on Friday afternoon and tefillah matzah Shabbos. The tama al atzmcha, because it's obvious you can't think any other way, because how could it be heich chafefes b'yoyim v'tevelas b'layla? How could it be that a woman should do chafifa on Friday and the tefillah on matzah Shabbos? Habinan, don't have in some chafif for tefillah v'lecha, otherwise we'll have a problem. Says the Gemara v'hilksa. However, the halacha is, quotes the Gemara, isha chafefes b'yoyim v'tevelas b'layla. A woman could do chafifa by night and then go to the mikveh the next night. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, isha lo tochafel b'layla. The chafifa should only be done by night. Ask the Gemara, kasha hilchasa hilchasa. Isn't this so very self contradictory? First we said chafefes b'yoyim v'tevelas b'layla, and then we said isha lo tochafel b'layla. Answers the Gemara la kasha. Hada efshar, when it's possible for her to do chafifa on Friday afternoon, that's when do chafifa and go to the mikveh at night. Hadalai afshar, if she's not possible for her to do the chafifa right before going to the mikveh, that means you can't do the chafifa because she's going to the mikveh matzoi Shabbos, and you can't do chafifa Shabbos afternoon. So then the halacha is she should do the chafifa at night. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. All the Mepharshim have an obvious question of Rashi. Here the Gemara is saying that if the woman cannot do, according to Rashi's understanding, chafifa on the afternoon before she's going to the mikvah, she should do chafifa that night. Yet we learned, asked the Mepharshim in yesterday's shir, the Gemara quoted the opinion of Rav Yemer, and the Gemara said the Hilchos of Rav Yemer, where the Gemara said that as long as there isn't a big time lag between going to the mikveh and chafifa, we should do chafifa before. So how do we understand this Gemara? So some of Farshim explain that the way to understand this Gemara is that the Gemara here is referring to a situation where she's going to the mikveh on Friday, where she's going to the mikveh Matzoi Shabbos, then she can do chafifa Friday afternoon. But if she's only going to the mikveh Sunday evening, and we're referring to a situation where Sunday night is yontif, there the halacha is she should do the chafifa. There the halacha is that she should do the chafifa on the night of going to the mikveh. The shach learns differently. The shach says that if a woman is going to the mikveh on Motzoi Shabbos or on Sunday night, she should still do the chafifa in both situations on Friday afternoon. Only if she's going to the mikveh on Monday evening, where there's such a serious time lag between going to the mikveh, where there's such a serious time lag between going to the mikveh and the chafifa, then will it be the opinion of Rashi that she does the chafifa the night that she goes to the mikveh. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. However, Tosfos quotes the opinion of the Shiltis, who has an entirely different understanding of the Gemara. And the Shiltis' understanding of the Gemara actually is that the proper time to do chafifa is not by day, as we've been learning the Gemara, but rather the proper time to do chafifa is actually by night. We don't have the time to go through the whole shakla v'tarya of the Gemara, but the Shulchan says that properly chafifa should be done by night. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Shulchan. So now the question is, what to do? We have here a very fundamental machlokes. Should chafifa be done by day, or should chafifa be done by night? And because of this question, the minig of Klal Yisrael is that chafifa is begun by day, and it's completed by night. Most of the chafifa should be done by night. There's actually a question of how to understand the opinion of the Shulchus. Is the opinion of the Shulchus that chfifa should be done by night? And therefore, according to the Shulchus, even if a woman's going to be going to the mikveh late at night, she should still do the chfifa. She should still do the chfifa at night, and even though it's going to be a lag between her going to the doing the chfifa and going to the mikveh. Or does the Shulchus mean that not only should chfifa be done by night, but chfifa should actually be done in a right at night, right before going to the mikveh? And as I said, the minhag is that chfifa is done right before. The minhag is that chfifa is done at night, right, but begun by day. Furthermore, the minhag is that chfifa should take at least an hour, because by chfifa taking an hour, we could be certain that the chfifa is done properly. And furthermore, if the halacha is that if a woman does have to go to the mikveh Motzei Shabbos, she should do the chfifa. She should do a chfifa on Friday afternoon, and over that Shabbos, she should try as best as possible to avoid coming in contact with materials that will make a chatzitza on her body. And then Motzei Shabbos, she should again do a chfifa and go to the mikveh. Interestingly, our Gemara, which is teaching us about the importance of doing the chfifa properly, giving it the proper intention, that attention, and therefore the woman will know that she's free of any chatzitza, is the basis for another minhag in Klal Yisrael, not related to Hilchos Nida. We know that a shochet, when he uses a knife to shech an animal, a bird, has to make sure that the knife is properly prepared, properly sharp, etc. And most shochetim begin doing their shechita in the morning, and therefore the minhag in Klal Yisrael is that the preparation of the knife is actually done the night before, for the same reason that we're learning in our Gemara. Because if the shochet is going to do the shechita right in the morning and do the preparation of the knife in the morning when he has to go do the shechita, there's a real concern that he's not going to give the shechita the proper attention to preparing the knife. And as we're learning, the proper intention of doing something, attention, is so very crucial. And that's why the minhag is that normally the knives are prepared already the night before. So as we've learned, Baruch Hashem, so many times in our shiurim on this Masechta, a woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. 7 days when she can be a nida, and if she sees that, so she has to count 7 days. Then midaraisa, as we always say, they need not be Zayin Nakiyim. She just has to count for the 7 days. And then at the end of the 7 days, if she's no longer seeing them, she could go to the mikveh. And then she begins the Yemei Ziva. The Yemei Ziva are 11 days. During those 11 days, if she sees them for 1 day or 2 days, she shemeres yoyim keneged yoyim. If she sees them for 3 consecutive days, then she has to have Zayin Nakiyim. So the halacha is that whenever a woman starts seeing them, we begin speaking about a woman who is a nida, she has to have a hefsek tara. She has to have some sort of a bedika to determine that she's no longer seeing them. So says the Mishnah, nida shabbat katzma yoyim hashvii shachris. If the nida did a bedika on the 7th day in the morning, Mots Torah. She did a Hefsek Torah on the 7th day in the morning, and she is Tor. Obein HaShemashis Loya Frisha, and she did not do another Hefsek Torah Obein HaShemashis. And there's a fundamental machloikis in the Mefarshim, how to understand the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Some Mefarshim understand that what the Tanakhama means to say is
that unlike Rabbi Yehuda, whose opinion we will soon see in the Mishnah, that a Hefsek Tarav must be conducted on the seventh day in the afternoon, in the evening, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanna Kamma's opinion is that a Hefsek Tarav can be conducted right in the morning. But according to that opinion, even the Tanna Kamma agrees that a Hefsek Tarav could only be done in the morning, in the, on the seventh day. Before the seventh day, he will agree that a Hefsek Tarav may not be conducted. That is one way of understanding the opinion of Tanna Kamma. Another way of understanding the opinion of Tanna Kamma that some Farshim suggest is that the Tanna Kamma actually holds that if you're going to be doing a Hefsek Tarav not during the first day, then not in the evening, you're going to be doing the Hefsek Tarav in the morning. So the only morning that's acceptable for a Hefsek Tarav is the seventh morning. But if you're going to be doing a Hefsek Tarav in the evening, the Tanna Kamma will hold that any evening is fine for a Hefsek Tarav. So again, says the Mishnah, if such a person did a Hefsek Tarav on the seventh in the morning and she was fine, even though she'd been a shmoshes, she didn't do a Hefsek Tarav, and now a number of days pass, so now she's already in the May Ziva, and she finds herself to be Tamei, Harei Becheskes Tara. We assume that she was Tahor until the now, and that any Taharas that she came in contact therefore did not become compromised. However, says the Mishnah, but Gatzma B'yom Shvi Shachris, if she did a Hefsek Tara on the seventh day in the morning, or Matzah Tamei, and she actually found herself to be Tamei, or Ben Ashmash Shvay Frish, and she didn't make a Hefsek Tara in the evening of that day, and then she finds herself after a couple of days tahor, in other words, since she was tamei on the seventh day, she remains in the cheskes tuma until we know that she didn't, that she is no longer tamei. And as we learned at the beginning of the Masech, the Kamis, the Mishnah, whenever we have a situation that a woman is found to be tamei, or matama, she'll be tamei retroactively when we find dam, and we don't know exactly when this dam came. The halacha is matama, she's tamei me'eslase, she's retroactively tamei for 24 hours, umi v'dika l'vdika, she's retroactively tamei 24 hours, or to the last time she made a b'dika. Rashi says that this goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah, that this didn't, a b'dika al v'dika, that when the Mishnah says, it's referring to a case where after the days of her nida days are over, she did a b'dika, and that b'dika was fine. So that is the last point from where we say retroactive tumah. However, says the Mishnah, even though, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the halacha is that a woman is retroactively tamei when we don't know exactly when she became tamei. However, if she is a woman that has a veset, so then we assume that the dam came at the time of the veset, and therefore dayashata, there is no retroactive tumah. However, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koshla Frisha B'Tahara Menemecha L'Mala, if the Hefsek Tara was not done in the afternoon, Hareza B'Cheskes Tameya, we assume that she's Tamei. And the way most Mepharshim understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the only time that is acceptable for Hefsek Tara is on the seventh day in the afternoon, Menemecha L'Mala. Not in the morning, nor in any day before the seventh day. So I'm a foreigner, I want to suggest that Yehuda will agree that a Hefsek Tara done in the afternoon of one of the earlier days would also be acceptable, but Pashp Shat Mishnah is saying that Yehuda holds that a Hefsek Tara could only be done on the seventh, that a Hefsek Tara could only be done on the seventh day.
The question, however, that the Mepharshim do discuss is when Rabbi Yehuda here says, min ha-mincha lamala, what does he mean? What is the time of min ha-mincha lamala? There are Mepharshim that say it means after Mincha Gedoyla. Mincha Gedoyla is the time a half an hour after Chatzos. It's called Mincha Gedoyla because there's so much time of the day left. And the reason, according to them, the Yehuda says that at that point a Hefsek Tara may be conducted is because most of the day it's already a half an hour after Chatzos and most of the day has already passed. That's why it's a time that's acceptable for Hefsek Tara. However, most Mepharshim explain that the opinion of Yehuda is that a Hefsek Tara should be done later in the day. And the question is, what is mean min ha-mincha lamala? Some say min ha-mincha lamala means from the time of Mincha Ketana, which is 3 hours before the end of the day. And others say that Rabbi Yehuda actually means from the Plaga Mincha, which is an hour and a half, half of the time from the Mincha Ketana to the end of the day. It's actually related to an issue that we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem at the beginning of Sechta Brachas. When is the right time that you already could start saying the earliest Kri Shema Shel Aris? So again, says Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Shelo Yefrish B'Tahara Min HaMincha L'Mala, if the Hefsek Tahara wasn't done after Mincha, Harezu B'Cheskes Tameya, it's not acceptable. The Chama opinion, however, is Afilu B'Shnayim L'Nidosa, even if the Bedikah was done on the second day, U'matzu Tahar, and she found herself to be Tahar, U'bein HaShmashas L'Yefrisha, and then she didn't do, even though she didn't do a Hefsek Tahara Bein HaShmashas, U'lacha Zman, and then ultimately she does find herself to be Tamei, still the Hefsek Tahara that was done even at that early point, Hareza B'Cheskes Tahara, is considered a valid Hefsek Tahara. And the Mepharshim discuss how are we to understand the opinion of Rev, of this Tana of our Mishnah, of the Chachamim. Are we to understand that this Tana actually agrees with the Tana Kama? Or are we to understand, and he just repeating his opinion with this added point, or is it represent an entirely different opinion? Says the Gemara, Itma, we learned. Rav Amazava Vadai, Levi Amazava Zava. Rav said that there's a certain situation that the woman should be treated like a Vadai Zava, and Levi said she's treated like a Safed Zav. What's the Nafkamina if you're a Vadai Zav or you're a Safed Zav? There are two Nafkaminas. We know that whatever a Zav touches becomes Tameh. Another question will be, if she's a Vadai Zav and she touched Taharis, those Taharis are Tameh and they should be burned. If she's a Safed Zav, those Taharis are left, those Taharis are toilet, as we've discussed many times that concept. Another Nafkamina is that we know that a woman, after she's a Zav Gedoyla, has to bring Chabonis, a Chatas Oif and an Oilus Oif. So if she's a Vadai Zav, so she brings these two Chabonis. If she's a Safed Zav, so now we have a real issue with that Chatas Oif. Because we know that the way a Chatas Oif is filled in the Beis Hamikdash is with Malika, and Malika is the proper way of killing a carbon if you're obligated to bring the carbon. But if you're not obligated to bring the carbon, then that bird is actually a Nevela. And therefore, according to Levi, since she's a Safek Zav, that Chatas Oif would not be allowed to be eaten because it may be a Nevela. So ask the Gemara, regarding what situation were Rav and Levi debating? Ahai, Elay my ratio, but they're referring to the ratio that the Mishnah discussed a situation where she checked herself and she was tahor. So, Hareza b'cheskes tarab tani. Hasn't the Mishnah clearly said that she's considered tahor in that case? So how could Rav call her a zof? Ella, it's going on the sefer, where the woman was tamei on the seventh day. So ask the Gemara. Bishlama, the opinion of Levi that sofik zava, that she's a sofik zava, Aminim is understood. Because since she was Tamei on the seventh day in the morning, and then a couple of days later she's Tahar, so I don't know exactly what is her status. So Levi says she's a Safed Zav.
Ella Zava Vadai Nami. Why, how could Rav call her a Zava Vadai? Hare Batka Atzma Torah. At this point she's checked herself and found to be Torah. How can we take the position that she's a Zava Vadai? Says the Gemara, El Kiyat Medi Rav Levi, Shmat Benashi Atmer. It's not to be understood that Rav and Levi were referring to a Mishnah. They were speaking about a new story, which is Nida Shabbat Katzav Yom Shvi'i Shachris Matzah Tameiah. It's the seventh day. The Nida did an examination and she was Tamei. And then Bein Hashmashos Lo Yafrisha. She didn't do another Bedika by Bein Hashmashos. Ulach Yomim. And then there's a couple of days later, and again, which are already May Ziva, and again, Matzah Tameiah, she finds herself Tamei. Rav Amar, Zava Vadai. Rav says she's a Zava Vadai. She was Tamei on the seventh day. She's Tamei now again, so I treat her like a Zava Vadai. The Levi Amar, Safek Zava. And Levi says she's a Safek Zava. And the Gemara explains. Rav Amar, Safek Vadai, Kivin the Mekar Nitzah Tameiah. At the beginning she was Tamei. The Achshav Nitzah Tameiah. And now again she's Tamei. I consider her that she's certainly Tamei. Tameiah Vadai. The Levi Amar, Safek Zava. Levi on the other hand says we treat her like a Safek Zav. Eim Paska Beni Beni, we need to be concerned. That maybe she stopped in between. And therefore, we can't be sure that she's a Zava all of these days. So, the Mefarshim asked the question. Am I asking and answering this question that helps us get the fundamental understanding of this Machlokes? How could Rav take this very strict approach, asked the Mefarshim? Have we not learned that you aren't considered a Zava, you aren't considered a Nida, unless you had a Hargasha? This woman obviously didn't have a Hargasha, because if she had a Hargasha, then there would be no question what her status is. So the Rishonim, and the Achronim expand on what the Rishonim say, that when is there a halacha that we've said so many times in our shiurim, that Hargasha is required? That's only in a situation, they explain, where the woman wasn't Maya Pesuach. That means a woman was Tahar, so a woman can't become Tameh unless she has a Hargasha. Here we have her refer to a situation where a woman was Tameh. On the seventh day, as the Gemara just explained, we did a Bedika and she was Tamei. Here, where it's Mayim Pesuach, here Hargosh is not required. And for the same reason, explained the Achronim, that the Rishonim say Hargosh is not required, for the same reason they're going to also be able to explain how we could certainly treat her, Rav says, as a full-fledged Zav. Levi, on the other hand, says at the end of the day, we're still relying on a chazakah. And we can't rely on a chazakah to such a great extent. The Ten Tonic Levi Mesnitzel says the Mara, so did Levi teach us in a braisa. Acha hayomim, if after a couple of days, she's a woman who's tummy, and after a couple of days, she ben batka atzma tahira, or ben batka matzah tmei, even if she finds herself tummy, she's only suffered zahra. We learned in the Mishnah, umetamim esles. She's Tamei retroactively for 24 hours or to the last Bedika. So, what was the case of the Mishnah? Where the woman was found to be still in need on the seventh day, and a couple of days later, which already the May Ziva, she again sees Dam. We see that she has Dam. We say that she's Tamei retroactively. Ask the Gemara, Lema. Again, she found herself tar on the seventh day, and then, during a couple of days later, which already the Meziva, she finds herself tamei. We say she's tamei retroactively for 24 hours. Ask the Gemara, lema to have to you after the Rava. Isn't this Mishnah a refutation of the opinion of Rava that we learned on Daf Lamed Ches and Daf Lamed Tes? Dama Rava, loyma she'ena yisha matamim es l'es b'toich Meziva alzai. These days are the days of the Meziva. And as we've explained many times in our shiurim, the main nida are days that a woman is expected to see damim. The main ziva are actually days when a woman is not expected to see damim. And that's why Rava said the din of retroactive tumah doesn't apply during the main ziva. But here, the case that we just discussed
that our Mishnah is discussing is such a situation where the Dan is during the Meziva, and we see that there is retroactive Tumah even during the Meziva. And the Mefarshim explain, so maybe we'll say that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that you found yourself Tumah not during the 11 days immediately after the 7th day, which are the Meziva. Maybe the Mishnah is referring to a situation where she finds herself Tumah after those 11 days pass, which are again the Meziva. So I saw two answers why that isn't the way the Gemara wants to go. One is, if that's what the Mishnah meant to say, so that's obvious. There's no chiddush that during the Yemei Nida we say retroactive tumah. And furthermore, from the Mishnah it seems that she finds herself tumah. The Mishnah doesn't indicate how many. The Mishnah doesn't seem in any way to indicate that it was so many days later. So here we see that the din of retroactive tumah, again asked the Gemara, applies even during the Yemei Ziva. Ask the Gemara, V'labah simna l'Rava chad zimna, haven't we already on Daf Lamed Tes refuted the opinion of Rava? So what's the Gemara, what are you trying to do? We've already refuted Rava's opinion. So, said the Gemara Hachatamina, what we meant to say was, Lame to have it to Yufta the Rav Nam Neha, that our Mishnah should also be a refutation of Rav. And as Mepharshim explained, what's the need to refute an opinion that has already been refuted? So I saw two pshatas. One pshat is that if one of the questions will find an answer for, we still now remain with another question. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that when Rav's opinion was refuted on Daf Lamed Tes, it was refuted from a braisa. This Gemara, however, is refuting Rava's opinion based on a Mishnah. And a Meira is not necessarily expected to know every braisa, but he is expected to know every Mishnah. And therefore the question of our Gemara, which is a question from our Mishnah, is considered much stronger of a question than the question which just comes previously for a braisa. Amlach Rava, responds Rava, Kik Tani Meisleis, this is the way to understand Meisleis of a Mishnah. Aresh Pirkenkai, it goes back to the beginning of the parak. We learned at the beginning of the parak, Ross of Adam Vesavia. If there's a girl who's a Nara, who already saw Dam Nida in her father's home, so Beis Hill taught us that girl, when she gets married and she sees Dam on the night of her wedding, the entire night we attribute the dam to the dam b'sulam. So says the Gemara, k'salka da t'chemina, kim the maskla yom atayra. Since this woman, this girl, so to speak, there was a interruption, because there's a dam b'sulam, k'tchilas nidasa damya. She should be considered like a girl who's a b'sulas damin, that we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, that there is no tumah, like tamim esles, there is no retroactive tumah on such a girl, Kamash Malon, that once that night passes, she goes back to the halacha of a regular woman that has retroactive tumah. Emiyesh leveset, however, we learned in the Mishnah, if the woman has a veset, then there is no retroactive tumah. Ask the Gemara, named have it to Yufta Drafuna Bachiyah Mishmu, should Amish not be a refutation of this opinion? Don Rav Huna Bar Chia Mashmu Loima Shein Lo Isha Kavas Leves of Yemei Zivasa. As we said, that a woman isn't kavei a vest during the Yemei Ziva. The reason being because those are days that are not expected to see Dam. Our Mishnah, which speaks about there being a vest during the Yemei Ziva, and that's why there is no retroactive tumah, seems to say you can have a vest during the Yemei Ziva. Answers the Gemara. Amalak Rav Huna Bar Chia, ki amin ein ishi kavas loy ves mezivasa. What I meant to say was to loy boy tlosazim ne lamekar. As we've learned previously, that once a woman has a veset kavua is only broken if the woman saw dam three other times. The minan, that's when we say the mamas salakin. This doesn't require that. And therefore a woman, even though she has a veset kavua, the halacha will be that if she skips
Havesed once, and the Vesed is during the Yimei Ziva, Kivan, that's when the Vesed isn't going to play a role. However, as far as the halacha that we're learning, since she's a woman of the Yimei Ziva, and during the Yimei Ziva, as we keep on repeating, a time when a woman is not expected to see dam, we say, da yashata, there is no retroactive tumah. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda says that a woman who didn't do a hesed tara during the mincha time, during the Bein HaShemashah time, we assume is still tumah. Tanya. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Amalei Yudeh Menachas Kol Bein HaShemashahs. Were we to require that a woman should have an examination throughout the entire Bein HaShemashahs, Yafa Atayim, we could understand your opinion, because that could indeed establish that she's Tana. However, Achshav, why should we not be concerned? Amim Siluk Yudeh Rasa. Maybe she did the bedika even at that point during the Bein HaShemashahs, but the bedika only takes a moment. Why aren't you concerned for that? Because you obviously are of the opinion, you agree, that once a bedika is done and the bedika shows that this woman is tahar, I need not be concerned that maybe she became tameh a moment later. So if that's the case, Mali Afrisha Batara Bishri Mina Mincha Nala, if a Vedika, you agree, is an acceptable way of determining that this woman is indeed Tahar, that one moment Vedika, it shouldn't make a difference if Vedika was done Bein HaShemashahs of the seventh day, Mali Afrisha Batara Barishan of the Bein HaShemashahs is done on the first day. A Vedika is good enough. Ask the Gemara, Barishayna Meikal Amanda Amar, is there any man the Omer that says that a bedika can be done even on the first day? Our Mishnah said that the bedika could be done from the second day, but not on the first day. Ask the Gemara, answers the Gemara in Vatanya, and we indeed learned in a Braisa, Omer, the Vatanya is a Raya, not a Kasha, Omer Rebbe, Shalti is Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Shimon, Kishoy, Malcolm, Derek. Neither Shvatka Yom Shvi Shachar Samatz Taira, and neither did a bedika on the seventh day in the morning, and she's fine. Or Bein Shmashas Lo Yefrish, and then she didn't do another bedika in the evening. Or Lacha Yom Vatka Matzah Tameya, and then after a number of days, she finds herself Tamei Mahu. What is Dalacha? Amrli Hareza Bechesk Tara. Since she did a bedika on the seventh in the morning, that is acceptable. Amrli. Shishi Chamishi Revi Sheishi V'Sheni Mai. What happens if she did such a bedika on the 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd day? Armali. So they said to me, Loishno. Barishin, Loishalti. I didn't ask about the first day because I erroneously assumed that certainly a bedika of the first day would not be acceptable. However, he says, V'Teisi. I actually made an error by not asking, because Atu, all these other days, Lava Cheskus Tuma Kaimi, are we not referring to a woman that obviously has a Cheskus Tuma, that she was discharging down? But yet, Kiva the Pasuk Pasuk, once she stops, she stops. Rishonami, so the same explanation, the same reasoning could be applied to the first day, Kiva the Pasuk Pasuk. Mikar myself, asked the Gemara, why indeed didn't he ask? Why did he think that the first day should be any different? Answered the Gemara, however, hooks my soul. Since that was the day she started seeing dam, he assumed that on the very day that she started seeing dam, she can't establish that she's tar. But that indeed was incorrect. Says the Gemara, the halacha is that a Zav or Zava has to have Zayin the king. Says the Mishnah, Zovah, Zovah Shabbat, Gatzma, V'yoyim Rishon, Umat Tar. They do a bedika on the first day, and they find themselves Tar. U'b'yoyim Shvi, and then on the seventh day of the Zayin Akim, and again Matzah Tar, they find themselves fine. V'shayim Shabinatayim, Loi Batku. The days in between, she did not do, they did not do any bedika. Rav Leza Omer, Harei Mecheskes Tara, that they're considered fine, and they, and that's good enough. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand Rav Elazar's opinion. Does Rav Elazar hold that L'chatchila, a bedikah, should be done in every day? But he's saying that if a bedikah was done on the first and seventh day, it's good enough. Or does Rav Elazar not even require L'chatchila, a bedikah, be done all 7 days? The Shulaymer, Elan Elo Yom Rishon Shein Ovavad. The first and seventh day is required, is, those days she did a bedikah are counted. The day she didn't do bedika, he or she didn't do bedika, are not counted. Machloikis here too. Machloikis achroinim. How to understand Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? Is it a deraisa din that only a day in which a bedika was actually done is to be counted, otherwise not? Or are we to understand Rabbi Yeshua differently? And we to understand Rabbi Yeshua is only with Rabbanon, that with Rabbanon, if you didn't do bedika, you can't count the day. Kiva Omer, Elam El Yom Shvi Bavad. Kvajim Kiva, only a day where the actual, there might have been a Riyah, there might have been a discharge between the first and seventh day, and therefore only the seventh day can be counted. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Elazar Bishua. With Verecha, at the mind of a Sirogin. You're counting the first day, you're counting the seventh day. That's not consecutive days. And haven't we learned that they must be consecutive days. Don't you agree to halacha that we previously learned that if a zav is counting his zayin akim and in the middle of his zayin akim raw keri or nazir shahalach sechers pros, we know a nazir is not allowed to become tamei, and if he goes over an area where there's overhang of stone or over hang of tree where we know that there was somebody buried but we don't know exactly under which protrusion of stone or the which branch he was buried, that a nazir is not allowed to be tired, that halacha shemana b'srugin, that even though the nazir is not allowed to become tamei, he only misses those days for, let's say he took on a 30-day term, the that day that he walked under this area he's tamei. He's not counted to the 30 days, but the other days are fine. Here too, you could count, Rabbi Yeshua says, we count some days and not others. Rabbi Elazar says, Bishlam Ahasim L'tamabah Amrachman. There, by the Zav, who saw Keri, the Torah teaches us, Shena Seseris Eliyoyma. V'imashim Achlufi, and if your concern is, says the Gemara, that if we're going to be lenient that with the Zav that became Balkari, we also may end up being lenient with the Zav who sees Ziva during the Zayin Akim. Says the Gemara, Zav and Balkari learn Mechlof. Zav and Balkari are very different tumas, and nobody's going to make that error. Similarly, Nazir Shehilach Sichas Pras Nami, when a Nazir walks under the Sichas and Pras, Midaraisa Oyama Alibina, we could be lenient. Because with the Raisa, you're only coming if you walk into a real oil. Rabbanon regards it. It's only Xerid Rabbanon that say that a person, another walking by Sikha Supras, should be considered somewhat Tamei. And again, since this is a Tumad Rabbanon, Tumad Rabbanon, Rabbanon with the Raisa Loi Machlev. Aval Hocha, you, if you're concerned that if she didn't do a Bedika, he didn't do a Bedika on days 2 through 6, Dilma Chazab Esafik, if you're concerned that maybe they didn't do a bedika and maybe they had a discharge, also chufa mavadai. Says the Gemara Tani, says the Gemara of Yosef of Shimon Amri, nearing the Rebbe Elazar and the Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Elazar's opinion is more logical than Rebbe Yeshua's opinion. But the Rebbe Kiva, and Rebbe Kiva's opinion, that if you didn't do a bedika during days 2 through 6, you could only count day 7 as day number 1. The Dei Rabbi Kiva and the Rikun is the most logical. However, says the Gemara, the halacha of Rabbi Elazar, that if she did a bedikah on the first day, on the seventh day, that is adequate.